Hey, welcome to our online service. My name's Michael.
I'm John.
Yeah, we're two of the pastors here at the Vineyard. Again, we're glad that you've joined us. Hey, I'd just like to invite you during this period where it can easily feel isolating, take a moment to get connected. Mm-hmm. We'd love you to go to duluthvineyard.org/connect form and fill out that connect form. And honestly, we'd like everybody to do that because one of the things on there is that you could put down something you're thankful for. Yeah. This week, Jenna wrote, one of the highlights for her has been enjoying the beautiful world outside that God has created and having time to engage in activities I enjoy the most. And then she lists them out: playing piano, reading, spending time outside, cooking, baking, crafts. I love that. I got a bunch of hobbies. Yeah. Like, I love that part of this right now. Teresa wrote down, watching my creator create. Mm. And Sarah wrote down, experiencing God's joy. So here's the deal. Fill out the connect form and put down something that you're thankful for. And then each week, I'm just trying to read those to encourage one another. Something you've seen God do in your life. We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, that's great. Let's take a quick minute and talk about money. You know, at this time, I think a lot more people are focused, even worried about money. And I'm going to invite you to give to the church, to go to duluthvineyard.org/give. I want to give you a brief update on how the church is doing. Our giving is still down, but we are doing great, and we are so thankful for the generosity of our community. People have been so incredibly generous during this time. Yeah. I'm inviting you to give so that we can do more. People really do need Jesus during this time more than anything, and there's more than we can do to love our neighbors, to reach out to them like we're doing through the food shelf. There's more that we can do to point people to Jesus, people that are waking up to the fact that they really need him, and more that we can do to help each other become more like Jesus. So help us to do more. Please go to duluthvineyard.org/give.
All right, we've been going through a series of messages looking at how we're never alone. And we just thought it would be interesting. The Apostle Paul had many instances in his life where he was isolated, he was alone, he was in prison, he was shipwrecked. But in the midst of that, God never left him alone. Right, John?
Yeah. It's incredible how God is always with the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
I would say in these hard times with the pandemic, it's easy to focus on negatives. But with looking at the story of the Apostle Paul, we get to see some great positives.
That's right. It is
such a positive that God is with us. And we'll see that all throughout Paul's story. And with that come some amazingly positive things. We see personal transformation in our lives, in Paul's life. We see worship and compassion going on in his life. We see the ability to hear from God and to take calm, decisive action in a crisis, even to face death. There's a lot of great stuff that we're going to look at today and the life of the Apostle Paul. So let's get into his life.
That's really good. So there are two periods in the Apostle Paul's life where he just kind of drops out of New Testament history.
Yeah.
Like we don't know where he went or you know exactly what he was doing. Once he went to the Arabian desert for about 3 years, almost immediately after his conversion. And then following about a two-week visit to Jerusalem, he was escorted out of the city by some of the Christians who feared for his life, and they took him to the port city of Caesarea. They put him on a ship, and they sent him off to Tarsus. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9, about verse 30. And that was like his boyhood home in what today we would call Western Turkey. And then for historians, think for somewhere between the next like 6 to 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years.
It's kind of a broad like group of years right there, right?
Yeah, if you thought of Paul's life as a movie, this would be the part where you'd think the movie was completely over. He's gone for 15 years. From our limited perspective, it looks like Paul's story is over, right? He is alone and he is out of the action.
And the main deal with that is we can often feel alone and out of the action, mm-hmm. like maybe somehow God just put us on a shelf, like he doesn't need us anymore. And,
yeah.
and we think nothing's going on, and we can often think that the whole story is over. But what we see in the Apostle Paul is that this is really great opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
Like there's stuff going on under the surface that you can't see. It's like when you plant some seeds and you come back every day to see if they're growing. And it takes like a couple weeks before you start to see something come out of the ground. Or if you're in Minnesota, it takes like a few months.
Or a couple decades if you're some people.
That's exactly right. And I don't think that Paul could have accomplished any of the things that he accomplished without these times of maybe silence and solitude, without these times kind of out of the limelight and these times that we don't know what was going on. Yeah. So here's a thought that we've used at the Vineyard for lots of years, and it goes like this, that God wants to do something to you before he does something through you. Uh-huh. Or stated another way, that God is going to do to you what he wants to do through you. And there's a passage the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 that says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Like he's going to do stuff in us that actually transforms our lives, that gives us something to offer to other people.
And the real question is, will we consent to that now in the midst of the pandemic or in the midst of whatever we're going through? Will we consent to times in our life where God is working in us, doing deep work in us? Yeah. Even though we may feel isolated and alone, he is right there with us, transforming us so he can use us.
Yeah, and that time with Jesus does bring transformation. It smooths off the rough edges. Mm-hmm. It's times where he's healing our wounds. He's shaping us into the kind of people that he wants to use so that we're prepared to do any good work that he might choose. So during this pandemic, what's God doing in you? Yeah. Like, how is he like using this time? How are you consenting to that?
Yeah.
And then there's another instance that comes that we want to take a look at. We're actually looking at like five different instances in Paul's life. Another one is we find him and Silas in prison. So it's a few years later. Paul and the gang are in a town called Philippi, and it's at the very beginning stages of what would become a church plant. They're beginning to introduce people to Jesus. They're beginning to form a community, a church, when they begin to get harassed by a young female slave who has a demonic spirit which allows her to predict the future. And after several days of verbal harassment, it reads like this in Acts 16. It says, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed.
Yeah.
Don't you wish he could be there at this moment? that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. So all of a sudden now her owners discover they can't make money with her anymore. She's been delivered. She's no longer going to be able to predict the future. And so they have Paul and Silas arrested. They're stripped. They're severely beaten. Their feet are put in stocks in a prison cell. Like, I'm not sure what state of mind you would be in a moment like this. But, like, you've done nothing wrong. You've set a young woman free from demonic bondage. You've begun a church plant, and now you're severely beaten and thrown in prison.
Yeah, it feels like no good deed goes unpunished right now in Paul's story.
That's right. And then Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying, singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners are listening to them. They're praying and worshiping God in the middle of the night after all this.
That's incredible.
They give themselves to worship, and then God shows up. Like, there's this earthquake, and all the prison doors come swinging open, and they're, like, totally free. Yeah. And then the jailer awakens. He realizes he's probably lost all the prisoners he's responsible for, and so he's about to take his own life. And Paul shouts to him, verse 28, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights. He rushed in, and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Mm-hmm. And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your whole household." And so the two things that I want to focus on there were in this kind of period of like incredible hardship, these guys are worshiping and praising God. And then when they get set free, rather than just taking off and kind of trampling on the guy whose job it was to imprison them, they show compassion towards him. Yeah. This is amazing.
Yeah, I know you haven't been to our auditorium in a while, but if you remember, we have the two banners of compassion and worship.
Oh, that's good.
And that's not something that we just do when we come to a place like the Vineyard. This is meant to be part of our lives, even when we're alone, even when we're in prison.
Yeah, that's really good, John. I had totally forgotten we had the banners right there. I haven't been in here for so long. Oh my gosh, that's really good. And that's the kinds of stuff, like, as I think that as we give ourselves to worshiping God, mm-hmm. he changes our character. Worship does something in us that no other human activity can do.
Yeah.
When we're putting him first, he begins to change who we are, and compassion becomes a thing that naturally flows out of us in moments like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And well, then you go on with the story a little bit. Did you want to tell this part?
Sure. Paul goes on, and if you know Paul's story, he was a church planter. He went to many different towns, and he was treated roughly in a lot of them. He gets to Corinth, and he starts to get discouraged. You know, things are hard for him. And then it says in Acts 18, and this is verse 9, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. And I love this. If you have one of those red letter Bibles and you're reading through the book of Acts, it's all black, and then the words of Jesus stand out right there. Paul says, Jesus says to Paul, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half teaching the word of God.
I love that. The resurrected Christ speaks to the Apostle Paul as he's church planting in Corinth and facing all sorts of criticism. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the deal. I think we can listen for that in our lives. We can make time of peace and quiet and silence and solitude where we're actually listening for the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling overwhelmed or discouraged or even depressed, this pandemic stuff is hard. Like, no, none of us trained for this.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Let's listen for Jesus's voice. Let's say the old second century prayer, Holy Spirit, come. Tell us that you're here. Tell us that you're with us and speak your heart into our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
well,
good.
Well, Paul's story goes on, and Paul does have a lot of hardship in his story. A lot of storms come his way, even literally. And what we see in Acts 27 is Paul is a prisoner, and he's being transported to Rome. And on the boat, on the way, there's a huge storm. Hurricane comes up, and the sailors, they throw everything off the boat. And after 2 weeks of this, they've abandoned all hope.
2 weeks
yeah,
of a storm.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks of a giant storm. And I know we've been in this pandemic a lot longer than that, but this was something where every minute they thought they could die at any second. 2 weeks of that, and they're like, you know what? This is it. There's no hope for us. But Paul was calm in the midst of the storm.
How many
of us are calm in the midst of our storm, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of financial trouble, in the midst of troubled relationships? How many of us remain calm like Paul did?
That's really good. I think of Jesus, like in the asleep in the boat, you know, when the storm came up and the disciples wake him up, like, don't you care if we're all going to die? And his response to them was, oh, you have little faith.
Yeah.
Your faith doesn't cover much of your life, does it?
Well, Paul is not only calm in the boat, he goes on to give them a motivational speech.
I love it.
So if we can see in Acts 27, starting in verse 22, Paul says, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island." Little footnote there. We're going to crash, but everyone's going to be okay.
Oh, man.
Now, you see the source of Paul's courage here. He was never alone. This is so personal for Paul, you know? He didn't have, like, the perfect philosophy of suffering. What he had was a personal relationship with Jesus. Verse 23, he belongs to God.
Yeah, so in the midst of this pandemic, like whatever storms you are personally facing or we're facing together as a community or as a country, the question is, who do we belong to?
Yeah.
Like, who's the one who holds us? It's not in our own models for how infections go. It's not in our own things that we can figure out that we find, you know, our real source of strength. Like, I think all those things are good and helpful, but it's really in our connection with Jesus.
Yeah. And if we belong to Jesus, Jesus told us what would happen to him. The words of Jesus from Luke are, stand firm and you will win life. Stand firm and you will win life. That's Jesus speaking to us. And what Paul understood from that is Jesus, God, is 100% in control. That's why Paul was calm in the midst of this storm. God is in control in the midst of storms and pandemics and divorces and financial trouble.
Yeah,
we may not see that, but that's the truth. That's why Paul isn't freaking out in the midst of this. Now, Does that mean because God's in control that Paul doesn't care what happens on the boat? You know, for us, can we ignore social distancing and not wear masks because God's in control? Can we, like, play video games in the basement and not look for a new job because, you know, God's in control? can we treat our spouses and our friends like jerks and expect them to stay because God's in control? Well, look at what happens next in the storm. In the midst of the storm, yeah, here's what happens. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea. They're making a break for it, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes and that held the lifeboat and let it drift away.
I love that. I love the way Paul, I love the way he kind of intervenes there and goes, "Hey, I know what you guys are doing here.
Yeah.
And I remember the promise that God gave me. And if you don't stick with that, it's like, I can't guarantee any safety for you."
Yeah, and look at the tension here. Yeah. An angel had told Paul that they would be fine. I mean, one way to look at this is, why didn't he say, "Hey, we don't need you guys. You can go. God's got it. You know, why don't you do some snorkeling on your way too?" But Paul doesn't do that because Paul understands that God is 100% in control, but we are responsible for our actions.
That's good.
Those two things go together. We saw that the last 2 weeks when we talked about the life of Jacob.
That's right.
You know, God had promised that he would bless the world through Jacob, and he did. The Savior came through Jacob. But at the same time, all Jacob's dumb choices, the way he treated his family, his wives, all of those had consequences. God is 100% control, but we are 100% responsible for our actions.
Yeah. So I love that dynamic tension of that. Mm-hmm. It's like we kind of want to go to one side or the other, don't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, and kind of create a false dichotomy there. But the reality is that both those things are completely true.
Yeah, I think you're right, Michael. We want to either, you know, depending on our personality, you know, say God's 100% in control. I can put my feet up, no problem. I don't have to worry about everything, whatever. Or our personality goes the other way. Well, we want to be in control.
That's
we
right.
want to be in charge. But when we do, then it all rests on us, and that stresses us out. Paul knew the truth that both are true at the same time.
That's
God
is
100% in control, and that can bring so much peace in our lives, and we are responsible for our actions. That's why he took decisive action when it was needed. So for us in our lives, whatever we're going through, the pandemic, maybe we're struggling with our finances, our relationships, can we experience both the peace of knowing, hey, this is in God's hand, he is in control, and can we listen to the Holy Spirit? And when he says act, can we act? Where is he calling us to act in the midst of a pandemic?
That's really good. All right, as we move on through Paul's story, in a way, you can see that the last few chapters of the book of Acts are really all about how Paul suffers.
Yeah,
he's falsely accused. He's nearly killed a couple times. He's imprisoned. He's shipwrecked. And at the end, he ends up in Rome, betrayed, deserted, locked up, and awaiting execution. In fact, he writes to his dear friend, his student, his mentoree, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, and he says this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Mm-hmm. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith."
Oh, I love that.
He's facing death, and he's still completely calm.
Yeah, that's so much faith there. And it's like Paul, he never says, you know, life is hard, you know, and then you die. You know, he never has that attitude. He admits that life is hard, but there's a fight worth fighting. And we've talked about that fight over the last few weeks. It's the fight against the devil and sin and our own selfishness.
That's right.
It is the fight to submit and surrender to Jesus. Can we do that in our lives? Can we fight the good fight even in the midst of hardship?
And then you jump down to verse 16, and Paul continues. He's talking about his trial in Rome, and he says this, "At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, that's so good.
It really is.
Paul is at the end of his life, right? He knows that what's coming, and yet he still is. He's calm. He's at peace because he knows where his strength comes from. We saw it right there in verse 17.
That's right.
But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. We can experience God's presence like that. We need to experience God's presence like that to have this kind of calm and peace in our lives. Hopefully, before the pandemic, you were able to get one of those little red booklets, How to Spend Time with Jesus. If you don't, go online now on our website. You can download the PDF. Spending time in God's presence, having him stand right beside you like Paul did, oh, it's the key to making it through times like this.
That's right. You know, I love that. I heard so many stories, John, of people who downloaded that little booklet, and it's really practical about how you practically, moment by moment, mm-hmm. and like at the beginning or at the middle of every day, how do you kind of quiet your heart and mind and spend time with God? And so it's a great resource if you haven't had a chance to look at that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's take a closer look at verse 18. In verse 18, he says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Oh, I love Paul's confidence there. He's saying that God will rescue him, but Paul knows that the Romans are likely about to execute him.
Yeah, he's about to get killed.
Yes, but what Paul is saying is God has saved my life many times, and he might deliver me and rescue me again that way. He might rescue me from death, but it's entirely possible that he will bring me into the kingdom through death. Oh, this is so powerful because Paul knows either way he is good. Either way, the kingdom of God wins. Paul can see that the only disease that can really kill us is sin. Mm. You know, financial hardships are tough, but the only debt that can really sink us is our debt to sin.
That's right.
Paul knows that the kingdom of God is what we really need. And he has that because of a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus is with him, he is never alone. He's never alone, really, because Jesus was alone. If you think about it, on the cross, Jesus was alone. When the Father turned his back on him, Jesus took all the sin of the world on him. So we don't have to be alone.
That's right. And I love that the essence of sin really is that kind of separation from God. I don't trust him. But as we put our confidence in him, as we, even as much as we're able to, as we just, you know, even just bumblingly begin to trust him a little bit, what we find is that he welcomes us with open arms, and his love for us is a really secure place to live.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know where you're at. I'm sorry, John, I interrupted you.
Oh, so go ahead.
I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, but we would just like to invite you to really put your confidence and your trust in Jesus for absolutely everything in your life. It sounds kind of like a huge thing to trust somebody you can't see for, all those things in your life, but, we want to invite you to do that, right?
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of us, we look at Paul's life and how the amazing things that he was able to go through and how God was with him. God provided angels and spoke to him. And we're like, oh, that'll never happen to me. But it can. And it does happen to us. The Holy Spirit comes to us now. But what we need to do is take the first step towards him and turn to him. And that's really what we're inviting you to do. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, to commit your life into Jesus' hands. Because he went to that cross, because he was alone, we don't have to be alone.
That's
now,
right.
During the pandemic, or ever.
Yeah, so what we do is we submit and we surrender to his love.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to lead you through a really simple prayer. How about if I start that prayer, John, and let you kind of finish it?
Sounds good.
I want to lead you through a really simple prayer of submission and surrender to God's love. Just, you could pray along just with something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your death on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for experiencing that aloneness, that separation with God, so that I don't have to. And I just want to submit. I want to surrender. I want to put my confidence and my trust in you and what you've done so that I'm welcomed into your family.
Yeah. And Jesus, I thank you that you rose from the dead, proving that it is all true.
Yeah.
And that now I can receive the Holy Spirit and I never need to be alone. So Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Let him be in me, changing me, transforming me. Help make me to weather this storm like Paul weathered these storms. Come, Holy Spirit.
That's right. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're going to have a few more announcements, and then we're going to worship together for a little bit. Stick with us.